Hello, this is Pastor Fred Brooks from Christ Family Church, located at 18506 Telegraph Road in Brownstown, Michigan. I want to thank you for downloading and listening to this message via podcast today, and I pray it'll be a source of blessing and encouragement to you. Christ Family is a Spirit-filled church full of people who are passionate about the things of God and who believe in the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. If we can ever be of service to you, or you would like more information about Christ Family, simply contact us through our website at christfamily.com. May the Lord bless you, and remember, you are always welcome at Christ Family.
Because of unconditional love. Unfortunately, some of us really live in a world of conditional love. We put conditions on our spouse, and we say, well, if he does the things that I like, then I will give him the love. I will treat him with love. If she hits that level of perfection, makes me happy, doesn't say the things I don't like, you know what? Agape love, God's love, is unconditional. Say that word with me. You know what that means. It's not dependent on being loved back. Second of all, it's sacrificial. And this is important because agape love places others first. For those of us who learn how to live selfish lives at certain points in our life, that day came very quickly to an end when we held our first child in our hands and we realized something. That love is about someone else. Again, when I counsel Christians, I tell them that our job is to be a servant leader. That even if God has placed you in a position of authority, and maybe at work you're a boss, or maybe in the family you're a leader, or maybe in your school people look up to you. And after a while, when you get to be popular and other kids think you're cool, you begin to think of yourself differently. The reality is that every leader, every believer, every Christian who wants the love of God to flow through them must be a servant leader. And that means we live by putting others first. That their lives are important, more important than mine. Because if I love others and place you first, I am showing sacrificial love. Now, I told you love is a risk because sacrificial love takes a risk by stepping out first and putting others. There's intent there, regardless of the response. If I put you first and you choose not to love me back, that's okay. That's the godly love we're talking about. Much of the world's love is conditional. Much of it is very selfish. But a sacrificial love says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Now, when Jesus was given to us, we hadn't done anything to deserve it. We were sinners in opposition to God. The Bible says we were enemies of the cross. In that place, God's sacrificial love gave Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time grasping the concept of that deep a sacrificial love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. It wasn't his spare. It wasn't an abundance, an extra. It wasn't a leftover. It wasn't what I'm not using, go ahead, that's okay, have it. No, it was his only begotten precious son who, according to John 1, was sitting in eternity in a love relationship with God. That's powerful. Sacrificial love. Ephesians 5:25 says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And I hear all the single people say, I'm not married, so that doesn't matter. You can change those words from husbands to Christians. Love others. That's sacrificial love. You are commanded, I am commanded to love sacrificially if I'm going to love God and I'm going to love others. Love the way Christ loved, that gave himself for her. He didn't come and say, look, I'm your Lord and Savior. Here I am. I'm the boss. He didn't come to earth and tell the disciples, now serve me. Do this, do that. Let's set up an earthly kingdom. Get me a throne. Find me a horse. Get a castle. Give me all the riches, all the jewels. Jesus didn't say that. He came and gave. Lastly, the third thing. Love is forgiving. Agape love expresses. This is important. You don't have to earn my love. As a matter of fact, I factored in your mistakes. I factored in the disappointments, and I've allowed for them with the thing we call forgiveness. Now, this is tough for humans. It really is. Forgiveness is tough because we have a sense of right and wrong. We learn the idea of judgment. And we say, you know what? You have done all these things, and I did a little bit. You're more wrong than I am. And our sense of fairness adds up the values and then says, you're guilty. I can't forgive you. I can't forget. You have to apologize first. Well, Peter, the apostle, was first a disciple, and he traveled with a whole bunch of other unlikely candidates. And together, I think they fought and argued more than they did anything else. And I could just see Peter this one day when he came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times do you want me to forgive my brother that has offended me? How many times do you want me to forgive someone who seven times has come against me? Now, I want you to think about this. That's a great question. How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Now, I want you to ask this question in your own heart. How many times will you forgive someone? How many times? Peter said seven times. He was trying to impress the Lord. Because you know what? When you irritate me once, I'm going to overlook it and call it ignorance. When you do it again, it's going to really bug me. And when you do it again, I'm going to start thinking you got something against me. And when you do it again, I'm going to think this is a habit you're enjoying. And when you do it again, I'm going to think you're just looking to destroy me. And when you do it again, I say, you know what? That man is full of the devil. And I curse the devil, so man, I must curse him. And that was only six times. How did that feel? Mom, when your children don't listen to you. Dad, when you don't get the respect you want. Son, when you feel like you're getting pushed around. Daughter, when you feel dismissed and unimportant. Employee, when your boss doesn't appreciate you. Boss, when no one at work does what you tell them to do. Or when life throws you a curve and nobody seems to care. And it's hard to earn a living. And it's hard to pay your bills. And God doesn't answer your prayer. And bad things happen to you over and over again. It's easy to hold a grudge. And Peter was, he was doing something that made sense to him. Lord, how much of this will I take from these idiots that you picked called disciples? The 12 doofuses. And Jesus decided to blow him away by saying, not seven times, but 77 times. What was he saying to Peter? Peter wasn't going to be counting that high. It was time to stop keeping score. Forgiveness is not, if you are keeping score in your life, if you have a scorecard and say, you know what? It's her turn now. It's his turn now. I'm telling you, it's time to rip that card up. You have been forgiven with a forgiveness that exceeds anything that you or I could do. And God is telling us today, forgiveness is true love. Agape expresses. We're about to take communion. I'm going to ask the ushers to begin passing out the elements. You're going to receive a piece of bread and a cup. And communion represents unconditional love because that blood is sacrificial and that body is forgiving. So as you take them, just hold them for a minute while I share just a few more minutes with you. There was a story that was told. A traveler falls into a pit. Now, this is an old Jewish story, so it doesn't apply as much. When was the last time you were walking, first of all? I can stop there. When was the last time you were walking? I took my grandson to Southland for something, and a security guy whizzes by in a Segway. Have you seen those things? I felt like I was on the Jetsons. It's like, whee! And my grandson's just like, oh, whatever. And I said, what do you think of that? But then I realized they have hoverboards and all these other things. He didn't think anything of it. So I need you to think back to a different time. A man falls into a pit. And he can't get out. Several persons come along and see him struggling in the pit. The sensitive person says, I feel for you down there. The reflective person said, it's logical that someone was going to fall into the pit. The aesthetic person says, I can give you ideas on how to decorate your pit. The judgmental person says, only bad people fall into pits. The curious person says, how in the world did you get down there in the first place? The perfectionist said, I believe that you deserve to be in that pit. The self-pitying person said, that's nothing. You should have seen the pit I was in. The optimist said, cheer up. Things could get worse. And the pessimist said, be prepared, things will get worse. But the Bible says this, Jesus, seeing the man in the pit, lifted him out of that miserable pit. Loving God and loving others is sometimes reaching out and taking someone out of the place where they are, loving them back to wholeness. Today, as we share communion, as we take this communion, I want you to know that this is a visual example of God's love. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that sacrifice on the cross is what communion is all about. It is a reenactment of what Christ did for us. The breaking of the body when he gave himself. The cup, the shedding of his blood. Now those two things are historical, amazing. And by the way, if you are a scientist, they're factually accurate. Because historians like Josephus and hundreds of other writers all wrote about the life of Jesus. And they wrote about the death of Jesus. And they also told stories of the report of the resurrection of Jesus, as witnessed by over 400 people. And a noted historian like Josephus, who only wrote the facts, said this: "And Jesus, a man, if you could call him a man, because I believe this man, Josephus, began to see that Jesus was more than human. He was also God." And in this factual account, they told us of his death and resurrection. And if that weren't enough, we celebrate those elements today. But can I tell you something? We've got to take it a step further. Love is not enough. You have to experience it. We have to take these elements into ourselves. For you to eat that bread and drink that juice, what you're saying is, I believe that Jesus died for me, that he loved me that much, and I receive that love, and I'm willing to give it to others. Without the receiving part, it's nothing but history, which, by the way, is his story. Isn't it really? You'll get that when you're back in school. History. So I'm going to ask you today, receive this communion. Receive the love of God today. Dad, would you come?
The Bible reveals that before Jesus went to the cross, he spent the last Passover holiday with those whom he loved so much. And in the upper room, he was explaining his death and dying for them as a revelation of his great love for them. The greatest sacrifice we could make as human beings is the giving of our own lives. And Jesus wanted them to know how much he loved them and what he was willing to do that they might have eternal life. And the Gospels reveal that the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Signifying that he would die a cruel death to display his love and grace to each and every one of them. And then it was commanded in the scripture that the church should celebrate this when they come together to celebrate the suffering, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he has done for the whole world. And we're going to celebrate that even now, my brother and my sister. Would you please take the body of the Lord, the piece of bread? And he said, "Take and eat this. This represents my body, which is broken for you," my brother, my sister, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us eat. Likewise, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup represents my blood, which is shed for you. Drink ye all of it, for it is my blood that will wash away every sin you'll ever commit." My brother, my sister, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us drink. He said, as often as you eat of the bread and you drink of the cup, you remember my death until I return. He commanded that his church should celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper, never to forget the price that was paid for our sins. Let's bow our heads now in prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, we are so grateful for your love for us, a love that forgives, a love that gives, a love that reminds us of how much you love us. And may we in return love you, serve you, and honor you as we commemorate in remembrance, never to forget the price that was paid for our salvation. And may we for eternity be grateful for this sacrifice which was made for our sins, that we might not only be forgiven, but live with you in all eternity. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you.
As the ushers are collecting your communion cups, I said love is a risk. Today I want to ask you to accept the truth that Jesus loves you. His love is unconditional. It's not dependent upon your behavior. His love is sacrificial. We just saw that in communion. His love is forgiving. And if today you've been keeping score in your heart and you say, I don't deserve God because of my past or my person, I want you to discard that and surrender to his love. I want you to say yes to the Lord. And if for any reason today you say, I have never given my whole heart to Jesus, the cross is an intersection between God and man. This is that moment that if your life has never been surrendered to his love, if you've never believed that God could love you, now's the time. So as we close, as we dismiss, it would be the greatest shame and the deepest sin to walk away from God's love by saying no. Say, but I'm not good enough, or I'm not ready. Can I tell you something? Are you ever ready for love? Remember that wedding day when you said I do and you never knew what was coming next? You could have never imagined? You can do all the planning you want, but you know what? The only way I know to know how to be a parent is to have children. I can give you a book. I can introduce you to somebody. But the only way to be a parent is to have a child. The only way to be a child of God is to surrender your life and to say yes to his love. And the only place to meet him is not in a church or at some Christian nightclub or whatever. It is at the cross roads of your life. You can't meet him in a book, in a philosophy class, in a mathematical table. You have to meet him at the cross. That's where he's waiting for you. He's got tears in his eyes, blood in his brow. His hands and feet are pierced. And people who are walking by say, look at that criminal, that sinner. Yet he was the most perfect man that ever lived. He did it all for me. He paid the price for my sin, for yours. For us to say no would be the greatest sin that ever lived. Now, if you have to have the world, if you have to have sin, if you need destruction, if that's your choice today, just remember, you are choosing. But I've never met anyone standing in the middle of a fire that says, finally, I'm happy. Not one. I've heard people talk about it. Yeah, I want to go to hell because all my friends are going to be there. We're going to potty hotty in hell. If we could pull back the curtain of hell right now, you want to know how party and hardy that really is? You never heard screams, cries, just a glimpse of earth, which in a sense could be its own hell, would be enough for them to cry out, please, help me, help me, help me. What did the rich man say? Just dip your finger in a little bit of water and rub it on my lips because I am suffering in this flame. And yet we are so interested in worldly pleasure, in ignoring a love like God's. For just a moment of something, surrender today. He calls you to himself. Would you close your eyes, please? I don't need your hand. I don't need you to come forward. God sees your heart. We'll see your life. It'll all come to fruition someday. But I want to challenge you right now. If you are feeling the Holy Spirit pulling your heart, you're probably already saved because you love him so much you don't want to displease him. I don't need you to get born again again. You just make it right with God and tell him you're sorry, believer. But you who know you are away, lost and alone, you who have never chosen God, or have rejected him soundly, I call you now in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to surrender your life to him. He loves you and will fight for your life to be in Christ. It's time to change your life by receiving the love of God. And if that's you, I call on you now to repent. To say, yes, I am a sinner. I have failed. My life is destruction. But I surrender it now by believing in Jesus. That he is the Lord. That he died for me. And he rose again. And I confess it now. And at some point, you will be asked to confess it before men. And that will be the fruit of your salvation. But for right now, I ask you, in your heart, will you repent? Will you receive the love of God and confess Jesus as your Lord and accept him now? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every heart that is engaging you. In my spirit, I believe that some are receiving a brand new life in this moment, and I celebrate the anointing of your presence, that your love is taking sin and washing it away, that your love is forgiving the past, that your love is setting a new course. And Lord, soon we will see the effects of that love washing over this world and sharing Jesus because of new believers who are coming to know you in this very moment. And so, Father, we thank you and receive you fully and walk in a new anointing of love. And we ask, Lord, that not only are we committing to love you, but we are committing for you to allow us to love others with your love, unconditional, sacrificial, and forgiving. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.